Welcome to Booked. I'm your host, Gavin Dahl. Each week, Booked highlights authors, journalists, and newspaper columnists in their own words. Coming up today, we hear from Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition Executive Director Jeff Roberts with a look back at the big stories in government transparency and freedom of the press in Colorado during 2019. Thanks for joining me, Jeff.
Hi, Gavin.
Let me start by asking you about your nonprofit and its work. In the interest of full disclosure, KD&K is a proud member of the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition. Who are the members of the CFOIC, and how do you describe your work as executive director?
So the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition is a nonprofit. Our main mission is educational. So we educate the journalism community in Colorado and the general public about their rights under the open government laws. So those would be the Colorado's two public records laws, the open meetings law that we have, court access, that type of thing. And we also do, we try to help make the laws better if we can. So we work with other groups like the Press Association, the Broadcasters Association, to try to get legislators to improve these laws. And also when there's attempts to make them not as good, we work on that as well.
Press Association, primarily newspapers and online sites, and then the Broadcast Association, of course, radio and TV. Are those kind of the bulk of your members, are TV news stations from Denver, or do you have a lot of smaller members around the state like us?
Well, it's really almost all news organizations in the state are technically members, because the Press Association is a member, the Broadcasters Association is a member. Several individual news organizations like KD&K are members, but then we also have some civic groups like Common Cause, even the Independence Institute is a member. We have the Private Investigators Association, Colorado Press Women, which is an organization of women journalists, the Bar Association, the Colorado Association of Libraries Intellectual Freedom Committee. We have several different organizations that are part of our coalition. Oh, the ACLU as well.
Sort of a spectrum of political beliefs, but all who can come together around this freedom of information issue. And you guys also offer a guide to Colorado's open records and open meetings laws, and people can find that on the website coloradofoic.org. It seems like your work is, you know, has a lot of depth and breadth, but for government transparency in Colorado this year, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Yeah, when I wrote about the year in review, I thought about that as a lead and decided not to use it because it's been used so many times. But I thought of it more as sort of as a split screen. You know, on one hand, you had something we thought was really good that happened in regard to law enforcement transparency. And on the other side of the screen, you had something that a trend that we don't think is very transparent at all. So the good thing was a new state law that we worked on and some other groups worked on that opens records on police internal affairs investigations. And what that has the effect of doing, we think, is helping to make law enforcement officers more accountable and to help build trust with the communities that they serve. That not so good thing is the growing trend of police agencies to encrypt their radio communications. And we're talking about all of their radio communications, not just the tactical channels and things like that. So more than 30 agencies have gone silent so that journalists and the public can't listen in. In some cases, the journalists and news organizations have been offered radios, encrypted radios, either at a cost or free, but that isn't happening everywhere. And in some places, like in Denver, the police department wants the news organizations to sign an agreement that the journalists, the news organizations aren't comfortable signing.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about House Bill 1119. So that's the new state law passed by the legislature back in April and signed by Governor Jared Polis. As you said, it opens up records on police internal affairs investigations once they've been completed. You outlined the key takeaways from the law back in the spring. But can we walk through some of those details for folks? I feel like this is a pretty important one. And while it was a big news for people who work in the news, maybe a lot of members of the public kind of didn't catch on.
Right. So the history behind this is that these are records that historically have not been open in Colorado. University of Denver Sturm College of Law did a study where they actually went out and made records requests of law enforcement agencies all over the state, and it was only Denver that would provide these records at all in response to records requests. Either the requests themselves were ignored, or the agency cited the Criminal Justice Records Act, which allows, which gave discretion to say that release would be contrary to the public interest. And so, we have made the argument that these types of records, especially when the investigation is all over and done with, definitely are in the public interest. When you have law enforcement officers that might be accused of wrongdoing or breaking the rules, sometimes a municipality will pay out maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars to someone who's made a claim, but the officer is, we're told that there's been no discipline. So, how did they come to that conclusion? How did they make that decision? And the records are what would give the public some insight into that, but you weren't able to see those records. But now, under this new law that went into effect last April, you will be able to, and you have some agencies that were not forthcoming with these records, like the city of Aurora here in the Denver area, are now starting to make these records available to the public.
It seems like, Jeff, regardless of what happens in any individual case, once the internal affairs investigation is complete, if a public records request is made and the agency says no, naturally, a reporter or a member of the public is going to get an impression that agency has something to hide. It seems like, regardless of what actually happened, it seems like a big part of the work that you guys have done in helping to fight for this law is to build trust, to actually try to rebuild some of what's eroded.
And that really is one of the main motivations behind enacting a law like this. And if you ask the sponsors, the legislative sponsors, about it, that's what they'll tell you, that in some of these cases, or in these cases, there could have been wrongdoing, or maybe there wasn't wrongdoing. But if you can't see the records and know how that investigation was conducted, then you're right. It just leaves an impression that there may be something to hide, and that does, that tends to create more distrust than trust in an agency when that happens, I think. And so when you are more transparent and you are able to see the process, know more about it, then I think it does help to build trust. So this new law is limited in some ways. It only deals with records that are related to specific identifiable incidents of alleged misconduct involving an officer and a member of the public. So we've already had some journalists who have been a little frustrated when this new law went into effect, and they made requests for all of these records from some agencies, and were told, well, no, you can't have them all. You have to let us know specifically which ones you want. Denver will do that. Denver has been doing this for several years now, and it's worked pretty well in Denver, but in other places, they haven't been willing to do that. There's some redactions that are allowed to happen. Some are required, so if there's any personal identifying information in the record, so somebody's social security number or an officer's home address, something like that, that has to be redacted. Those things make sense. And then there's some other things that a record custodian has the discretion to withhold, but really not the things like the conclusion, what really was found out, how the decision was made, that type of thing. Those are things that the public is now entitled to know about.
One of the things you mentioned is that when the study was done by University of Denver's College of Law, the Denver agency responses were the best, sort of, in terms of how many places were not kind of honoring the idea of transparency. So are you hoping that these other agencies now held to this new standard will sort of look to the Denver Department of Public Safety as a model?
Yeah, and we even made that argument when we were pushing for this bill that we've, you know, Denver has now been doing this for a dozen years. They started doing this because they were sued a lot, and eventually they decided to change their policy and make the records available. And the arguments against the bill had to do with things like, well, an officer is going to want to come work for an agency if they know these records could be made available to the public someday. Well, that hasn't been the case in the city of Denver. We showed that as an example. And the process in Denver, you know, has seemed to work pretty well. They actually will give out more information than this bill minimally requires, and it really hasn't led to any problems that we've heard about. So, yeah, we do hope that that seems to be more of the model.
Important distinction you made there, though. It's not like Denver Department of Public Safety had the best practice in the state because of the goodness of their hearts alone. This was public pressure that put them in the position of doing better on this.
That's what happens in these cases often, that lawyers have to get involved, and it can lead to changes, but we think positive changes.
One of the other big issues that we deal with in open records is around the cost. What's considered reasonable when a records custodian charges you for access? So what did you guys work out on this House Bill 1119 that passed in April?
Well, so these are criminal justice records still. They're records of official action, which is a small category of criminal justice records that must be released. Many other types of criminal justice records, agencies still have discretion, like body cam footage, that kind of thing. And the fees really stay the same as they are under the criminal justice records law, which is worded in a very sort of vague way. It says reasonable fees not to exceed actual costs. It's different than the Colorado Open Records Act. So CORA is maybe the public records law in Colorado that most people are familiar with. The Colorado Open Records Act. The Criminal Justice Records Act is a separate part of the statute, and the way they assess fees to research, retrieve, redact records is a little bit different, although many of the agencies use the same sort of hourly rate that is in CORA. Generally, the cost of public records in Colorado is a big issue for journalists and other requesters. Those charges can really, really add up and sometimes make records unaffordable to the public. And that's another thing that we're going to be studying. We have a University of Denver law student who's starting to work on a project about that very issue.
One last question on this bill, Jeff. The new law applies to internal investigations as of when this became law. So it doesn't actually help us get more transparency for past internal investigations. Is that right?
That is right. So that's another type of question that I've had about this, because when it went into effect, some journalists got kind of excited about records they weren't able to get in the past and wondered if this would affect that. Unfortunately, it doesn't. It's only those internal affairs investigations that were initiated after the effective date of the bill, which was April something.
My guest is Jeff Roberts, who runs the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition online at coloradofoic.org. I mentioned at the start of the conversation that it was not all good news for transparency during 2019. What's going on with police scanners?
So as we talked about a little bit, you know, there are a lot of police agencies in Colorado that have started to encrypt their radio communications. And this has been going on for a few years now. What typically happens is a police agency decides to upgrade its equipment, and they realize that this is a feature that they can easily encrypt all of their communications. More and more agencies in Colorado have done this. Several did it this year, including Denver. Several in the South Metro, Denver Metro area have done this. I would expect more will do it. And it's one of those trends that's been very hard to challenge.
The CFOIC and working with legislators at the Capitol tried to get a bill passed this year, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, there's actually been bills the past two sessions. There may be another one coming up this session. I haven't heard for sure yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if there is. And essentially what those bills would have tried to do is say that a police agency could not encrypt all of their communications, all of their radio communications. Only certain tactical investigative channels could be encrypted. But those bills have not gotten out of committee. It's been a very difficult argument, thing to argue against. What the police agencies are saying is that criminals might be listening in and use the information, or that somebody's personal information might go out on the airwaves. Our concern is that these are, especially for journalists, these have been news-gathering tools for decades. This is often how journalists learn about crime in progress in real time, and so that this is how they know where to go. We're in the city or wherever to get out there immediately, to talk to witnesses perhaps, to ask questions. And they also know what questions to, you know, maybe what to ask about. And when you have this information completely filtered from the law enforcement agency's public information office, you may not hear about everything. You may not get all the information. You may not know about something until they want to tell you about it, or maybe they don't want to tell you about it. So it makes it much harder for journalists to do their job, which is to inform the public. And so we've already seen examples in Denver where journalists, especially on Twitter, are complaining about, you know, well, this thing happened, this killing happened 4 days ago, but we're just learning about it now. You know, things like that. That's not a specific example, but things like that. And so there's a lot of frustrated reporters out there, and they're not frustrated for themselves. They're frustrated because it's making it harder for them to inform the public.
You mentioned that some jurisdictions offered encrypted scanners to the media, but news organizations wouldn't agree to the terms as offered. Can you explain?
Yeah, so Denver, for instance, has a memorandum of understanding that they've offered to news organizations, but there's two provisions in there. One would apparently let city officials examine a newsroom's records related to the scanner that they would then, you know, that they would have bought from the city for $4,000 or $5,000. And then another provision would indemnify the city if there's some lawsuit related to information that comes across the police radio. And the news organizations have been very reluctant to accept these provisions. Other agencies haven't made that a provision of having to get a radio, so they're kind of at an impasse right now, and they have been for a while.
That's Jeffrey Roberts, the executive director of the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition. You're listening to Booked on KD&K, and we just have a few minutes left, but there's a lot of other stuff that is in your year in review on the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition website. One of the ones I know is particularly interesting to our listeners here in the Roaring Fork Valley is this anti-SLAPP law. Colorado joined about 30 other states, providing a process for dismissal of what are called strategic lawsuits against public participation. Talk about this.
Yeah, so your listeners have heard about probably the case of Pete Kolbenslag, who lives in Paonia. He's an environmental activist. He was sued for defamation by a Texas-based oil and gas company. He had posted a comment on the website of the Glenwood paper and was sued. And the courts ultimately found that because his comments were substantially true, the case was eventually dismissed, and they said he was entitled to attorney's fees. But this was something that went on for quite a while, and he didn't know that he was going to win in the end. What this new law does is it allows for the expedited dismissal of these types of lawsuits if they're just brought to harass someone for the speech that they're making. And so this doesn't just affect an environmental activist, this could affect news organizations as well. We haven't seen a lot of that in Colorado, but we've seen it in some other places, and it's the type of thing that can also tie up if a news organization was sued, just to tie them up with the court costs and fees for years. It could get very expensive and difficult for news organizations, which are already under a lot of financial stress generally. And if that's the whole point of the lawsuit, then this is a process where that can be found out before the discovery process, which is really the expensive part, and the lawsuit can be dismissed. Now, if there's some merit to it, that's another matter. But if there isn't merit to it, then that could be figured out early on in the process.
And particularly important, as there's probably not a newsroom in the state that has the budget of, say, John Oliver of HBO when he's going after the coal tycoon Bob Murray, and they can actually stand up to frivolous lawsuits that suppress speech.
They don't have that kind of budget anymore. I'm not sure that they once, many never really did. But that's the John Oliver piece on slap suits is both informative and entertaining. If your listeners want to find that online.
Maybe Colorado Public Radio is growing so much that they'll become the big budget news organization that can afford to take on, the slappers out there.
Well, now we have a law that hopefully will protect us all.
Well, thanks, Jeff. And one other one I want to ask you about that I think is really relevant for listeners to this show, because just a few weeks ago we spoke to the journalists who reported it, Susan Green from the Colorado Independent and Nikki Turner from the Rio Blanco Herald Times. Talk about why the story in Rangeley is in your Year in Review.
Sure. So there was definitely a transparency aspect to that story. If your listeners will remember, this is a very tragic story of a man with untreated paranoid schizophrenia who stole a pickup truck outside of Rangeley and ended up being shot to death by a police lieutenant. The town didn't really want anybody to know what had happened. So the records were kept from the Rio Blanco Herald Times. There was a city council meeting the very next day, and it wasn't even mentioned. No one would talk about it, and it really took the Rio Blanco Herald Times teaming up with another news organization, the Colorado Independent, to go after the truth in this case, or at least come pretty close to what actually happened. And that involved getting a lawyer involved. The president of CFOIC's board, Steve Zansberg, wrote a letter which got at least a redacted copy of the police internal affairs report released. It was not covered by the new law because mm-hmm. this had happened prior to that going into effect. So there definitely was a transparency aspect of it. But, I went to a community meeting that both the Herald Times and the Colorado Independent put on in Rangeley about a month ago, where they brought together people in the community, as well as both the police lieutenant and the widow of the man who was shot and killed. And my impression of that is that everyone there really appreciated, almost everyone there really seemed to appreciate having the truth come out, and especially these two people who met for the first time. And I think were able to talk, and it really seemed like their meeting helped at least start the healing process for them.
One last comment about Susan Green. She, as editor at the Colorado Independent, was also handcuffed and detained by Denver police officers in 2018 while taking pictures near the state capitol. And this year, the city of Denver settled with her. I thought that settlement and the agreement they came to was pretty interesting.
Yeah, so Susan got a check. I think it was $50,000. But then More importantly, Denver agreed to hire the general counsel for the National Press Photographers to train its officers on the First Amendment right to record police activity in public, which is what Susan was doing. She had come across a scene right by the state capitol here in Denver where police were attending to a nearly naked man, and Susan had her iPhone out, and she has done many stories in the past about treatment of people in custody, and so she was interested in this. She wasn't interfering with their activities, and you could see that on the body cam footage that eventually was released, but she was told to put her iPhone down, and she was handcuffed and put in the back of a police car for a little while. And so that's not the way this should have been handled. The two officers who did that were found to be in violation of city policy, and Susan ended up getting a settlement. And hopefully, I don't know if this training has started. I know they've done First Amendment training in the past, but having stepped up training, which my organization called for after this happened, was the right way to go in this case, and hopefully it'll make a difference.
Let's check back in, and once the legislature gets started, and talk about what's going to be on your docket for 2020. I know there's a lot of interest at the legislature and continuing to work around government transparency, not only around law enforcement, but that's been one of the big stories of 2019. Jeffrey Roberts is executive director of the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition online at coloradofoic.org. Thanks so much for speaking to KD&K.
Thanks very much, Gavin.